Okay, as we continue on, in 1 John chapter 4, we left off around verse 13. So open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. We talk about the love of God. Okay, charity is a disseminating and distributing factor for all other virtues to be born within your soul. The Apostle John also pointed out that this was a point of discernment, the saints. Okay, that those which are absent of this priesthood are joined to a different vine, okay, the vine of bitterness and gall, Satan's vine. Because bitterness and gall is that which confirms that those things of the world. You notice the gospel that centers upon the things of this world, okay, produce or only excite the passions, excites the passions, okay, for resolving issues. Resolving relationships. It always challenges the imagination, but doesn't produce faith. True faith, okay, is in regard to this pattern of the pattern and record of Jesus Christ in this covenant. False faith, okay, is powerless knowledge. True faith, okay, which the Apostle Paul brings out, the gospel which I preach to you is not after man but after God, okay, which because he's talking about that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay, this, that the power of God accompanies this knowledge. When Jesus spoke of the knowledge of God, he was speaking charity. Okay, and it was taking root within the hearts of those that have ears to hear, because it was circumcised their hearing. Okay, they were hearing things, new things for the first time. We never heard a man speak in this manner. Because all other teachers of the Torah, okay, continually addressed the relationships and the issues with the precept. Okay, they always addressed these things. Okay, and they always put the people in mind of their hope, but didn't give any faith to accomplish that until John the Baptist came. When John the Baptist came, he then truly established hope in the hearts of the people. So he prepared the way before them. He prepare you the way of the Lord. Make his path straight, and that's what John the Baptist did. Okay, he brought knowledge to the people, okay, so that it produced faith, okay, and they lived in the expectation, okay, of those things which John spoke, and they were baptized of him, okay, beginning a new priesthood. John's baptism was not for the record of Christ, okay, for our record, okay, it was the completion of Moses' record. It wasn't Jesus' record. John the Baptist is not the record. Jesus Christ is the record. And John's baptism, okay, was identifying the closure of Moses, the beginning of Jesus, the closing of the fifth week, and the beginning of the first eighth week. This was a place where the children of Israel came from the wilderness into the promise. And Jesus being baptized in Jordan was connecting these two things together, okay, that he was beginning this was a new beginning, okay, of a new covenant, okay, for a new people, for an invisible temple, an invisible kingdom. Okay, that the sword was not going to be with metal, it was going to be with charity. Okay, verse 13. Verse 13, that we dwell in him, that we're dwelling in this record, and he in us by the work of regeneration, by the empowerment of the witness for your faith. If it wasn't for the empowerment of this witness for your faith, then your faith would be in vain. Okay, and your soul would exhaust itself trying to bring equity in the imagination. With the imagination and with the moral code. You'll be trying to cleanse the conscience, okay, with precept and with works of contrition, okay, which is evidence of a false gospel and defiled conscience. Because false knowledge cannot purge the conscience. Okay, false knowledge of the false gospel can challenge to the works of righteousness, but it cannot produce it. The truth of the gospel not only presents before you the pattern, but it also brings the resolve, the clarity, and the healing, okay, for your faith. Okay. So hereby know we that we dwell in him as the true and living record, because Jesus is the eternal life. Now, eternal life, which means he's a living record. All right, and he in us, all right, in order to bring about the transference from darkness to light, okay, and to bring about the true inheritance from that which is presently being birthed within us to that which the reality of it, of entering into the holy city, New Jerusalem. This is the work of the Comforter. The work of the Comforter now is a restriction of regeneration. Okay, that's why, as Christians, that we don't go about creating reality. Okay, we follow the record. We don't try to create reality. Okay? That will be in the third covenant. Okay, but your creative skills will be based upon the pattern record that Jesus prepared for us, not apart from it. But the Comforter right now is restricted for these things of the work of regeneration. Okay, this is what Jesus proved. When he was being tempted of the devil, you notice that he didn't use his creative activities and his imagination to turn stone into bread. But he said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He did not use his creative powers as God to satisfy his flesh. Okay, if he did that, then that would be the established record and experience for every Christian today. That every Christian today will never have to leave the home to go shopping. They would be turning the gravel in their driveway, okay, into donuts and bread. Okay, all right. They'd be creating pasta in the stove. Okay, steaks on the oven. Okay, they'd be changing their tap water, okay, into wine. Every time you turn around, there would be a party over at somebody's house. Okay, and of course everybody would want that gospel, wouldn't they? Wow, can you imagine that? That I could create fire, so I wouldn't have to, you know, we have to buy gas, okay, for the home or heating for the home. We could do everything by the creative abilities. Okay, but Jesus didn't do that. Because Jesus established a record of endurance, patience, okay, consistency, that which is of faith, and patience to inherit the promises. Your joy will only be full by the record which I have provided for you. Okay, and by faith you will see this fulfillment. Okay, this is what I want you to rejoice in. Okay, not that the devils are subject to you, as Jesus said, okay, but that you're rejoicing in my word, my record. Okay, hereby know we that we dwell in him as a record he in us by that witness, because he has given us of his spirit. Okay, that is to bring about this, to seal this holy knowledge in us, and to bring about the fruit within us. Now we have seen and do testify, as John said, by his own experience, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. See, he keeps establishing this in the minds of the saints. This is the record. He talks about the Father as the nurturing element and the chastening element. Element and the purging, okay, as concerning like chastening, purging, cleansing, okay, and scourging, those things of Hebrews, okay, sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. See, the Son is a Savior, okay, not your acts of contrition with carnal things. Okay, the Savior is the Son, the record. Now, whosoever should confess, that is, in regards to this record. Whosoever confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, there's many people that say Jesus is Lord, but are not in covenant. They say Jesus is Lord, but they're not following the record. Okay, but they are making certain scriptural confessions, okay, by precept, apart from the power of God. Okay, and you notice that they, by doing this, they're trying to bring about their own desires by a projection of scripture. Okay, they think by attaching a scripture to everything they say, okay, that somehow or another is going to bring about the reality. But you know, it hasn't happened. Okay, and they're continually struggling to enter into that rest. There is no struggle with faith, but there is a struggle with the conscience, okay, concerning those outside of covenant. They're always trying to subdue the conscience, okay, to make the conscience accept this and to work with this. Whosoever should confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and in God. There, John says it again. Through each implement and all these elements, he continually reassures us, this is the true pattern for your faith. God dwells in him for the work of regeneration, and he and God, and through that priesthood. Okay, and we have known and believed. All right, the word, believe, acknowledge, mold with, and submit to, the love, that which the charity which the Spirit has issued to us. We experienced this even on the day of Pentecost. That's what he's saying here, verse 16. And this is the gospel which we're preaching to you. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And again, he's the very virtue which he expresses. He embodies. He's God Almighty. He embodies the very light that he is. Okay, and he embodies the very virtue that he is. So God is love. He that dwells in love by this pattern of the Spirit Now he truly does dwell in God. He dwells in love, dwells in God, and God in him. Okay? So he dwells in God, again through the priesthood, and God dwells in him for the work of regeneration by this expression, not apart from it. Okay, now you notice how many times he mentions love through the scriptures right here. You count them, it's enormous how many times he mentions the word love. Okay, herein is love made perfect. Again, our love, he's not talking about passion, he's talking about expression of charity. The expression of charity now perfects our faith. Our faith, faith and charity work together. Okay, as Peter said, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue of knowledge, knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. It begins with faith, and it ends with charity. Okay, so therefore, your faith is made perfect through expression. If you're to increase with faith, you have to use it. But you have to use faith in the proper manner for it to increase. Okay, and faith increases with charity. So you see the cycle of your growth here. Okay, if you're not abounding in charity, if you're not increasing in faith, okay, if you're not growing in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, okay, then your Christianity, okay, is suffering, okay, a disease, okay, which is false knowledge. False knowledge is a barrier between yourself and that experience, okay, because you were taught, okay, by carnal-minded people, okay, to take a perception that would be useless in your Christian life. Okay, which means disaddressing historical facts doesn't make you Christian. Just saying that God exists doesn't make you Christian. Just saying that the Bible is true doesn't make you Christian. Okay, because many will say in that day, Lord, we cast out devils. So does casting out a devil make you Christian? No. Many will say, Lord, we did many wonderful works. We had great ministries. We fed the poor. You know, we took care of, we resolved social issues. Okay, those that do that, no, it's the record. It's in the record. Okay, not that you leave the other undone, but you can't replace the record. Okay, the acts of those things is in connection to the record, not apart from it. If you separate them, then that's what Jesus says, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Okay, you are trying to use works of contrition for your piety, when the true piety and true charity dwells in me. Okay, so therefore, your charity is never made perfect. John says your love is made perfect only by this pattern. Okay, so if you want to have peace with God, if you want to enter into your rest, if you want to increase in your faith, okay, and abound in all these things which the apostles wrote about, then you have to follow this pattern. It is love made perfect, and we may have boldness the day of judgment. Now, the day of judgment has to do the sign policy of the time. Now, God assigns judgments every day, and he makes these things known to you. Right, if you look out your window, you can see a judgment of God. Okay? And also in your dreams, you see a judgment of God. The word judgment has to do a sign policy. Okay, the sign policy has to do with adjustments. Okay, it's like adjusting certain fine machinery. Okay, in order to give it a fine tuning, the adjustment. A judgment is adjustment. Okay. So God is making known to you these adjustments for the perfection of your charity. Through what? Through your dreams. Okay, through your visions. Okay. Also through your priesthood. Okay, the word boldness right there has to do with active, aggressive, and active involvement at the altar. So your love is made perfect in your priesthood, with your aggressive and active an activity at the altar. All right, that you may have boldness in the day of judgment. Whatever God has assigned to you, which is every day, okay, and to make adjustments in your perception so that you continually have the perception of his throne, okay, is a result of your charity. Okay? If you don't want God involved in your life, then don't follow after charity. If you want God involved in your life, then follow after charity with your priesthood. Okay, so part of charity is offering your spiritual sacrifices, which has to do with the doxology of this knowledge. That's a true doxology. It says, so herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness the day of judgment. Okay, that God, what God has began to work in you, he also will complete, so that you're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is what Paul said. Okay, work out your own salvation. Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, and this is how you do it. This is your activity, your priesthood, your sacrifices. Okay, the bonding of this fellowship. Okay, because as He is now in heaven, at the right hand of the Father, so are we in this world. We reflect Him now. Okay, as He is, so are we in this world. You reflect the one that you're expressing. When we were in the kingdom of darkness, we reflected Satan's perception. With what? How do we reflect Satan's perception? Well, it was easy. How about envy? How about emulation? How about strife? How about pride? How about adultery, fornication? Okay, that was a perspective. Okay, because that perspective addressed the issues of our pleasure. Okay, it addressed those things which we use with our aspiration or principle. Okay, what we were using that kingdom to advance our deception in. Okay, so when we use those things which we use in the kingdom of darkness, now we're ashamed of. Okay, because the truth of God has manifested those things. Manifested, which means because of the truth we're able to see now and make distinction for discernment, okay, to avoid those things which are a form of stumbling. Because he that says he's in the light and hates his brother is a liar, the truth is not in him. But whoso loves his brother abides in light, there's an occasion of stumbling in him. So the word stumbling has to do with that form of perception. Okay. So we reflect him. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. Now the word fear again has to do charity, because charity overcomes God by this tethering. Okay, charity, by this tethering we overcome. So charity overcomes, okay, this fear by the knowledge and by this tethering which is given to us. So there is no fear in love. Okay, but this right here has to do with the fear of withdrawal, confusion. Okay, there is no confusion in the pattern of God, because the pattern of God brings clarity. But there is confusion when one which is in darkness, okay, can't understand the value of the things of the Spirit. Yeah, they are confused. They ought to be. Okay. Okay. But their confusion is a result of ignorance, okay, which then causes withdrawal. Okay, because they said, I don't understand tongues, so that I'm not going to use it. I don't believe it's of God. One person said, I spoke in tongues, I was really frightened. It just really made me fearful. And of course, they use a little stronger word than that. Okay, why were they fearful? Because they were not being made perfect. Their charity was not made perfect. The knowledge of God had to be present in order to identify, okay, to define the experience, and to direct the experience. That's where it takes wisdom. To direct this experience into the covenant of God. If your experience is not directed into the covenant of God, then the value of tongues takes on a different form, which is, well, I'll speak in tongues if I feel like it. Okay, or I don't see the value of tongues. I think charity is better than tongues, but yet these two are joined together. Yeah, they're two joined together because these tools are given to us for the expression of charity. Okay. Not apart from it, but to work with it. Now, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. Okay, and that's what false knowledge does. False knowledge works confusion. Okay, and it works confusion in one's perspective. Okay, because you're trying to make sense out of something that's of another dimension. You're trying to make sense out of the language of angels. God never told you to try to make sense out of the language of angels. Okay, even though he did say, right, that you can pray for interpretation. Okay, but that's not the purpose of it. They're trying to make sense out of it. Okay. Now there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Okay. So here the Apostle John, okay, in the first century, 2,000 years ago, okay, saw the same reaction. And those which are under his stewardship, okay, positive and negative, as we do today. Okay, those that understand the value of these things, okay, they did not increase in the things of the Lord. Okay, and by doing that, they were those what Paul talked about, But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected, nigh unto cursing. Okay. And then Paul says, but brethren, we have persuaded better things than you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. This is what we're doing. We're speaking in this manner, the things that accompany salvation, so that those areas in your life, okay, which you are struggling with, God will heal through the work of regeneration as you cooperate with him. For we are laborers together with God. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are laborers together with God. If you the labor together with him shows that God has assigned responsibility for our activity, okay, and this is what he means by he has a propitiation. He has assigned a responsibility for this. And remember, he brings it out three times, two times in John here. Okay, as son has sent him to be the propitiation for our sins, assign this responsibility, okay, for this joining. We are laborers together with God. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Okay, well, in other words, charity removes the doubt. Okay, because the fear here has to do with doubt. Okay, this fear right here is different than the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is good. Okay, as it says there in Psalms, the fear of the Lord is good. Okay, but the fear, this fear right here, has to do with that which stands in doubt, the double-mindedness. Okay, because fear has torment, okay, working confusion. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So perfect love, okay, perfect love is a result of the working, using the tools. Okay, because another thing too. False knowledge remains titrated. Okay, false knowledge remains titrated in his charity, seeing that his conscience is not purged from dead works. It's dead works that is causing the confusion. Okay, it's dead works that are standing as a barrier between him and the life of God. Okay, the dead works and false knowledge. Okay, so false knowledge continually remains titrated, so his love is not made perfect. But by the holy knowledge of God, by the foundation of truth in a heart, now your love is made perfect. We love him because he first loved us. We are established that. The charity began with God and is continually is living on through us. Now this I say, if a man say I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, which means he's working, his charity is titrated, and his perception is distorted by false knowledge. Okay, for he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Because God is represented, okay, by this form of reciprocation, which means to give back. Reciprocation means to give back. We give back to God what God gives to us. Okay, this form of activity has been set within the nature of man since the beginning, that man wants to offer something to God, so he tries to offer God something that's usually dear to him. Well, I'll offer God this, so God, I will make acts of contrition in order to gain God's notice. Okay, all right, those are acts of contrition. But God says, but I'll give you something to reflect back to me. I'll give you my own son. Now, that's good enough, okay? And that is equal to me. God will not accept anything that's less than himself, because only light can enter light. Okay? So he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, by the pattern of this true charity, which is in a record of Christ, not apart from it, how can he love? How we can love God whom he has not seen, who is invisible? How can he love an invisible God by something he doesn't understand? Okay, verse 21. This commandment. Now we come right back to that, don't we? And the Apostle John is now bringing back to attention is concerning the ordered activity is in this manner. All right, this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. Okay, so we all carry the same mark. He that loves God love his brother also. We all carry the same mark. Chapter 5. Whosoever believes. Now there's the word believe again. Now because the word believe has been misdefined, okay, by previous generations and brought down to the level of this acknowledgement, it's brought a lot of confusion between those who were church going, okay, and those which are church observing. Because they observe people, it says they believe in God, but live a life of a hypocrite. Okay? Because their belief system says, as long as I go to church and pay my tithe, okay, I am there for a believer in Jesus Christ. No, you're not. Okay, the word believe here, okay, has to do with a whole system of involvement. You acknowledge, that's the first step. You mold with, right? You join to Him. Okay, you acknowledge, mold with, and submit to, which means you're taking on the yoke of your priesthood. You're joined to Him through this priesthood. You receive the testimony of Christ, you acknowledge the testimony of Christ, okay, and you receive the Spirit to affirm that. That's true faith. Whosoever believes that Jesus is a Christ. Now, the word Jesus here, that this man, Jesus, is truly the true record. That the man Jesus, that's why he's separated to. Whosoever believes that this man is the Christ, the true record, is born of God. Okay? Which means the Spirit of God will bring the experience. And everyone that loves him that begat, which means expresses Christ in charity, everyone that loves him that begat, loves him also has begotten of him. This is the born-again experience here. But the word that begat here, which means increases in fruit. So everyone that loves and expresses Christ, he that begat also increases fruit in him. Increases fruit in him also that is begotten of him. See, so we see a form of exchange and fellowship by adjoining. Verse 2. Now we're going to be reading some interesting things right here. Okay, so let's keep this in mind. By this we know that we love the children of God. Okay, when we love God and keep His commandments. Again, it goes back to a form of activity and responsibility, which was sanctified by Jesus and shedding of His blood. Okay, and He rose again from the dead in order to see the initiation through by His personal presence, but in a different form than the form of the Comforter. And Jesus said, I will come to you again. How is it, Lord, you're going to manifest yourself to us, not to the world? Well, I'm going to come to you in a different form. That's why. Okay, you see me now in the flesh, because right now I'm with you, but then I shall be in you. Okay, and when I'm working and when I'm inside of you, okay, you're going to receive, okay, a different form of relationship. Right now, the relationship which we have is very one-dimensional, but the relationship which will bring life, okay, is multiple. Dimensional. Verse 3. This is the love of God. How is the love of God? See, this is the love of God. We have passion? No, that we love, that we keep His commandments. So the love of God is connected to knowledge. The knowledge has to be structured, okay, and functional. This is the ordered knowledge. And His commandments are not grievous, which means it does not work confusion. Okay, it's not grievous, and neither is it a burden. It's life-giving. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Okay, so we see the system again. Okay, without this pattern, you're not going to overcome the knowledge nor the tethering of Satan. Because there's three things you have to overcome. You have to overcome yourself, as the Apostle John brings out. You have to overcome yourself, Satan, and the world. Okay, the world, again, now he's talking about the world, and then he talks about overcome the wicked one. And we talked about that earlier. Okay, then we also overcome ourselves. Okay, as those which are struggling, those which are confessing to be of God, but are not. They haven't overcome themselves yet. Okay, by working with the things of the covenant. Okay, so you have to overcome three things. You have to overcome yourself, you have to overcome Satan, and you overcome the world. Okay, you overcome all three by this one particular application. Keep His commandments. Keeping His commandments involved not the Ten Commandments, and not the commandments of Moses, not the First Covenant commandments, not circumcision, not Sabbath day observation, okay, not the shedding of an animal's blood, okay, not the physical communion, okay, not the ablutions of washings, okay, but the things of the Spirit, gifts, callings, grace of God, government, truth, the Spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, the things that accompany our salvation. Right, we overcome by the law of grace and truth. Okay, here. Okay, verse 4. Get to that one here. Verse 4 now, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Okay, now overcome the world It doesn't mean that that you're going to be removed from your existence is going to be removed from the earth. He's not talking about that. Okay, when he says overcomes the world, he's talking about that you will be able to survive as lights in a dark place. Okay, that's overcoming the world. You are as lights in this world. Okay, so you're overcoming a system of thinking. Okay, you're overcoming an educational process. Okay, that always addressed your competitive side, right? To make you want to aspire, and right, and to follow role models, okay, that were ungodly. That's the world. Okay, you're following role models. We're supposed to follow Christ at the record, not a role model. Okay, role models is elusive and deceptive, because what a person is in one form, okay, of and the one form of activity that they're exalted in, okay, is different than really is different in their perspective of life. And there's contradiction in there. Okay, so we're follow Christ, the record, and that will free you, okay, from the confusion that's through the false knowledge of the system of this world. So what for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And what is the victory? This is the victory that overcomes the world. What is the victory? Your faith. He brings it right down to that denominator, doesn't it? Your faith. So here we just got talking about charity, 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 charity. Look how many times he said about that. Just charity. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. See, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Wow, that's 20 right there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 30. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, about 30, 35. 35 times he brings that out. Now he's talking about faith, isn't he? This is a victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. So you can see how faith and charity are joined together. Okay, faith and charity joined together. Now this is the word our faith, right? He's talking about our faith, which has to be our the form of practice. Okay, your activity. Now there are three manifestations of faith. Okay, you have the faith, which is the doctrine of your persuasion. Okay, here he says our faith. Okay, which has to do with the form of activity. And then he says, and then when he says by faith, he's talking about it's concerning even that fruit. Okay, a fruit. There's talking about the fruit. Okay, that's the system of God. For whatsoever is born of God, whatsoever, okay, that form of virtue, okay, that form of virtue which takes place within you is a result of this. Okay, charity, faith and charity. All right, verse 5. Who is he that overcomes the world? The system, its thinking, its perceptions, and its stumbling blocks. Removing the stumbling blocks, the strongholds. Okay, that's what we cast down imaginations, Paul said in Corinthians. But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Again, the word believe. Many people say, well, I believe, but why am I struggling? That's because your belief system. Okay, the definition of belief and the system that you have embraced does not produce, it does not allow you to overcome. It keeps you in subjection or servitude to yourself, because the gospel of Adam is being preached to you and not the gospel of Christ. The gospel, which means message. The message of your frailty does not help you overcome your frailty. Just to say you're a sinner doesn't help you overcome your sin. Okay? It doesn't help you overcome. The word overcome there, which has to do that you're excelling beyond something that's of a frail nature. You're overcoming the nature and the frailty of this world, this thinking, by the power of Christ. Okay? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, there it is, he's separated again, that Jesus is the Christ in verse 1, that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? That God took the form of this man, came in this man, that God was manifest in the flesh, Paul said, justifying the spirit, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received up into glory. That's that record. Okay, God was in Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, okay, becoming the record for our faith. But this is the word believe, acknowledge, mold with, and submit to, that he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, the Divine One, okay, everything that he established for us, this is he, now this is interesting, that came with water and blood. Now he's going to bring about the priesthood. Okay, Moses was a chief elder and established the priesthood for Aaron. Jesus is a chief elder and established the priesthood for the apostles and for the saints. Okay, this This began in the water of Jordan, as well as the water at the altar. Now, this has a twofold application to it. Okay, but it doesn't just end here. Okay, the results of it are in the holy city, the New Jerusalem. All right, Revelation 22:1. All right, this is he that came by water and blood. He came into this dimension, okay, as in Jordan to the cross, from the time of his baptism to the time of his resurrection, must one be a witness, as Peter said, Acts 1:22. Okay, but from the water and blood also represents the sprinkling process of the priesthood. That's what they took at communion. Okay, they took, take, drink. This is my blood which is shed for you. Okay. And we can see also what proceeded from Jesus' side. Jesus was the altar of our faith. Water and blood proceeded from his side. Right. This is he that came by water and blood. He established a covenant. He first established a record, then he sealed the record. He established the record with water, and he sealed the record with water. Water and blood. This is he came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, as Israel. Even, which means so, as Israel did, so did Jesus. Okay, under Moses, this is again by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, as coming into this dimension, but by becoming the substance of those whom he was going to redeem, water and blood. Jesus didn't just visit this dimension, okay, as he did the first time or numerous times when he came to Abraham. Okay, he came in the dimension of the waters to visit. Okay, but now he came back to redeem. Okay, not by water only as a form of visitation, but water and blood, a full priesthood for us after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, and it is a spirit which is the invisible power. It is a spirit that bears witness. There it is. It's a sustaining power. The spirit bears witness. The word witness has to do sustaining present power. Okay, when he says the Spirit is witness, he's not saying that the Holy Ghost is standing on behalf of your principal. And a lot of people use the name of God, saying, as God is my witness, as establishing the aspiration or principle of one's person. That is a lie, because they're saying that God is empowering my lie to be enforced upon your will. And God will not empower your principle, which is a lie, to dominate another. He will not do that. All right, so, of course, that's using God's name in vain in that manner. Okay, now, it is a spirit that bears witness, which means the invisible power, that which empowers your faith, because the Spirit is truth. See what the Spirit's working with? They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's what Jesus said. Okay, the hour comes when the Father seeks such to worship him, those which worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, not with animal sacrifices, okay? Not with the ablutions, water, not with wine, not with bread, not with silver, not with gold. Your souls are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, Peter said, but by the precious blood of Christ. Okay? So Peter's making distinction there between what that covenant of Moses, okay, and the covenant which Jesus purchased for us. Okay, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. Okay? Now the three which bear record in heaven, when he talks about bearing record in heaven, is that this is the pattern which the Father has determined within himself. That the pattern which the Father has determined in himself. Jesus is the oath of the Lord, sealed in the bosom of the Father before the world began, prepared a covenant. Okay? And this covenant, okay, which he prepared, was called the Word of God. Okay? A form of knowledge which would salvage the soul. Okay, from other persuasions, okay, which God already predetermined would be present. Okay, God predetermined contradiction in this dimension. That's why Jesus was a lamb prepared before the world was created, because God predetermined to set a testing ground for choices. Will you choose faith or you choose aspiration? Will you choose truth or you choose your principle? Will you choose covetousness to temperance? Okay, will you choose your love to me to loving yourself? And that's what Jesus said just before he ascended into heaven. Peter, what do you love? Do you love me more than these? Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you more than these. And Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Feed my sheep. Okay? Okay, your devotion to fleshly appetites Okay, it has to be less than your devotion to that of the Spirit. Let your devotion to things of my Spirit, okay, be greater than that, and I will sustain the other. Okay, this is what Jesus showed me. He's also multiplying the bread. Okay, that which is the Spirit of the Lord was greater than that which springs spring of the soil. That which came from above, okay, was greater than that which sprang from the soil. And Jesus showed that when the bread was multiplied, okay, by him, the Word of God. This record was the oath, which set a pattern in heaven, which can never be changed. Okay, it's progressive, but it will not be changed. Okay, that's why the Lord says, "I am the Lord; I change not." Okay, my plan of the Spirit, okay, will never take any other direction than what's been predetermined within my oath, which is in my bosom. Okay, which is also called the throne of God. Okay, he is the voice of the Lord. We also see that the voice of the Lord has a physical manifestation to him. Revelations chapter 3 and 4 talk about that. Okay, and 5 particularly. And I heard a voice out of the throne, and out of the throne came forth a lamb. Okay, the voice of the Lord took personification of a human form. Okay, to communicate to his own species. Okay, to communicate to angels, he took flame. To communicate to man, he took flesh. Okay, for the purpose of showing similarities. How can a God that's eternal talk to things which are temporal? Okay, except coming into that form and providing knowledge called the Word of God. So those are the three that bear record in heaven. And so read that again, verse 7. For the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay, they all agree in that one oath, okay, that one pattern for the inheritance. Now the three that bear witness in earth, okay, which their functionality is with man, the Spirit and the water and the blood. Okay, these all work with carnal things, as those the three in the record in heaven works with the plan of God and spiritual things, but that which is of the earth, okay, which is earthly. Jesus did the same thing to the Pharisees when he said, "I am from above, you are from beneath." Okay, I'm from above, you're from beneath. Okay, the works that you do are from beneath. Because they bear witness with yourself, okay, the moral code, your tradition, your custom, your influence, your relation, your social standing, okay, and everything else that you came in contact with had a profound influence upon your perception of life. Okay, but I'm greater. I'm the record. Our perception must be above, where Christ sits in the right hand of God, as Paul said, Colossians 3:1. Okay, our perception has to be the Godhead. Not that of the earth. Okay, there are three that bear record in heaven, or witness in earth. The three bear witness in earth. Verse 8, the Spirit, which the powers that being the powers of this world. Okay, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Okay, the three things which work with carnal things. Now, if we receive the witness of men, which it comes to with seducing spirits, the witness of God is greater, which is the holy power. We have the witness of man, which is spiritual, which is carnal things and lower life, okay, and a witness of God, which is holy power and above. Okay, if we receive the witness of men, which works with our frail condition, the witness of God is greater, being the record. For this is the witness of God. What is the witness of God? That which he empowers. What does he empower? He empowers the record. Where is this record? In his Son. This is in which he has testified of his Son. Now he that believes on his Son has a witness in himself. Okay, which has to do the assisted ability. Grace is the assisted ability, which accompanies, okay, our confession, our communication. As Paul said, Hebrews 13:5, okay, let your communication be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Okay, the perspective of the throne is a sustainer of my life. Okay, that's what he's talking about. All right, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever is our confession. Okay, he's ever present. Okay, that's the witness which is from above, the record of heaven. He that believes in the Son of God has a witness in himself. Okay, the sustaining factor and the assisted ability of his grace. Okay, the assisted ability is another example of assisted ability. Okay, is like a farmer plowing his field. Okay, now first of all, as a gardener, you get out there with a shovel. Okay? The only thing that's assisting you is your physical labor with a shovel. Okay, now that would take an enormous amount of time if you try to do 40 acres in one day, okay, which would be impossible. Okay, now we can take that, we can put the shovel down, and say, I need some assisted ability. Okay, I will use an ox. Okay, that will assist me. Okay, but still the labor is hard. Okay, mostly if the ox is unpredictable or you're unskilled in that area. Okay, but how about attaching a tractor to a plow? Okay, that is the power of God. Okay, which means you're able to cover 40 acres within a day. Okay, turning over the soil. Okay. All right, that's assisted ability. So he that believes in the Son of God has a witness in himself. The assisted ability, okay, to labor. Our labor is our rest. Okay, so I use the example of a tractor. When you plow with an ox and you're behind him, okay, and you're laboring, walking behind him. Okay, but when we labor with the Spirit, we actually enter into his rest. Okay, so he that believes not God, which means he that refuses the yoke of the Spirit, okay, in the terms of this covenant, not keeping the commandments of God and hating his brother, okay, he that believes not God has made him a liar, okay, which means God has changed his mind. Okay, we already just read here, there are three that were reckoned in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. This has already been determined in the oath. That will never change. I am the Lord, I change not. Now we are established at, but here we can see someone is providing a false witness, a different record. Okay, the person that's not yoked with the Spirit, joined to God, becoming one Spirit, provides a different record within himself, the gospel of man, because he believes not the record that God gave his Son, which I just brought out earlier. Okay, and that record which God provided for us has always been, okay, through those who he selects, government, truth, and Spirit. Okay, verse 11. This is a record that God has given to us, eternal life. Okay, so we talked about that earlier, about eternal life in chapter 1. And now he's mentioning again eternal life. He is giving us something that will empower us through eternity, which becomes self-eternal. This is what the angels wanted, which Satan was jealous over. You think Satan was just jealous over a piece of real estate? Okay, it had to do with Adam's existence and the reward which God was providing for him. When the angels understood how God was going to create another world and establish a second angel over this, okay, and when he talked about, okay, a position of order that would be far greater than the angels, Satan became jealous and was competitive, okay, because he wanted that. Okay, he wanted, as if I can put Adam in disfavor with God, then God will then favor me. And he will give me the inheritance. And of course, the watchers wanted it too. So there's competition among the angels. But it had to be through due process. Okay, on that. Okay, now God is self-eternal. And he'll make us self-eternal. Self-eternal. Now, what's interesting about God, okay, is that he's self-devised. All right, self-eternal. Self-originate, okay, and unique, okay, in himself. Okay, there's another one there too. It's being self-eternal, self-divided, and self-perfected. Right, self-perfected. Okay, those three things. Okay, that was in the oath. God put that in the oath, and he also put it in the God code for our faith. Okay, but right now we're under restriction because we're in the form of the flesh. Okay, well, once this is lifted, then we can understand the value of what he means. God has given us eternal life. A lot of people think eternal life is just free floating through the clouds. Okay, that's not what he's talking about. I mean, that's kind of, that's a child's mentality. Okay, of like a kindergarten art. Okay, like trying like kindergarten art stick figures. Okay, in comparison to Michelangelo, okay, who, you know, if he just drew stick figures up there in the ceiling there, okay, they would have kicked him out. Okay, but you notice that he had enormous skill. Okay, he had enormous skill. I mean, his skill far exceeded that in a stick figure. Okay, now eternal life right here. Yeah, when he talks about eternal life, again, it has to do with something that far exceeds than floating through the clouds. He's talking about something of another dimension. Okay, seating us on a throne as gods. Revelations chapter 3 talks about that. In fact, you look at it's about the last verse, verse 20, 21. Talks about that. He that overcomes will grant to sit with me in my throne. Now we're talking about eternal life. Even as I overcame and my father and sat down with my father in his throne. Okay, so this is a record, that which is sealed within the oath of God in his bosom in the throne, that God has given to us eternal life. It far exceeds that of the stick figure. And where is this life? We're experiencing now in his son in this record. Okay, verse 12. Now he that has the son has life, and he that has not the son of God has not life. So the apostle John just made a rather black and white comparison right here. Okay. There are those that claim to be of him, but they don't have life. There are those that are of him, and they have life. So the God code finds sanctification or sanctified increase in this record, but it's only for faith. Okay, so the record itself is the mechanics of our faith. The witness, which we talked about, is how your faith works with the God code in the record. Okay, for that virtue, for increase of virtue. Okay, that was the plan of the oath in the bosom of the Father. Is that everything that which is joined to him would continually increase. They would follow his order for increase and for his pleasure. Revelation talks about that. For you have created all things. Chapter 4, last verse. For you have created all things. For your pleasure they are and were created. For your pleasure. Not because you were lonely. God was never lonely. Okay. But for thy pleasure they are and were created. Okay, so I'll say that again. The God code finds sanctified increase in this record only for faith. The record itself is the mechanics of your faith, which is in Jesus. And the witness is how your faith works with the God code in the record for increase. That's virtue. Okay? All right. So he that has a son has life, and he that has not the son of God has not life. Which means the God code will not find expression, will find obstacles, when one of the major obstacles is death. Death is a power which God has assigned to the flesh. Okay, and he also attached it to the God code, that if it wasn't with faith, then it would breed depression and frustration. Now you can understand why people go in forms of depression. They go into depression, confusion, despair, because the God code which was in them, which was designed to work with faith, okay, was directed with the imagination and moral code. Okay, and by doing that, it was not fruitful. It did not increase. Okay, instead of expanding out as rivers of life, okay, it enclosed within it. In other words, it drowned you. These things are written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. They believe in a name, which is the record. Now, when he says a name right here, too, he's not talking about just a noun. He's talking about a whole system called the kingdom of God. Okay, so this name and this kingdom, okay, is called Jesus. Okay, these things have written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, this kingdom, which represents him, that you may know, and that not a guesswork, you know if your name is written in the book of life. If you have to ask, then it's because it's not there. Okay, but if you do, but you know by the record that your name is written in the book of heaven, because you're following the pattern he gave, which Christ gave to us, that you may know you have eternal life. There's the word eternal life again, okay, which has to do with the unrestricted increase of the God code within you because of the virtue of Christ in you now. See, the unrestricted expression of the power of God, okay, which at that time of the third covenant, your imagination plays an active role with your faith. Right now it can't. Okay, that's why the imagination cannot work with your faith. It works with the knowledge of God. But then we shall know him as we are known. We're no longer working with a form of knowledge given to us by the ministry of angels, okay, but we're working with him in his fullness, okay, in the third covenant. Okay, with unrestricted expression of charity. Okay, the God code with faith and with imagination, okay, in the area of the realm of your reign, okay, of your dominion. Okay, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Notice he repeats it twice here, and there's a reason for that, because not only at this present time is it necessary with restriction, okay, but it's always going to be like that forever, to believe in the name of the Son of God. That's what Jesus said to his apostles. Let's go to verse 14 here. This is a confidence. This is the opposite of fear, isn't it? We read about fear in chapter 4. Okay, fear works torment. Okay? All right, fear works torment because your love is not made perfect. But now we can see that love is made perfect by this pattern which he's provided for in the record again. This is the confidence that we have in him. Confidence, which is the boldness and the mechanics of this record. Okay, which means the confidence is in the predictability. Okay, when you put something together from scratch, okay, and you're knowing what you're doing, you have confidence in its outcome. Okay, but you notice that in a lot of Christianity, there is no confidence in Christ. Everything is on a level of guesswork. Okay, it's guesswork, and all these how-to books have never touched on the mechanics of this record. It always, every book that's been written, okay, has been only addressing the frailty of man. You can't have confidence in your frailty. Okay? You have to have confidence in your faith. This is the confidence we have in him, that we've asked anything according to his will. That means joined to his power. Then he hears us. Okay? Because he empowers our faith in this record. If you know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, okay, this is part of the reciprocation. The reciprocation. God wants you to pray because he wants your joy to be full. Because he knows that through this form of union and communion, okay, that he will continually reveal himself to you and that you will begin to know him. God takes great delight in this pattern for our confidence, for faith. If you know that he is right, if you know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Verse 16. If any man see his brother sinning sin which is not unto death, now that's a dysfunctional priesthood, he shall ask and he shall give him life. That means wisdom and direction for that for them that sin not unto death. Okay, dysfunctional priesthood has to do with false knowledge. With false knowledge, it provides, it's like having your pipes clogged. Okay, there's no, there's barrier. False knowledge is a barrier to the flow of charity. Okay, there's a sin unto death, which has to do with those which are active, okay, or say unsanctified priesthood. And I do not say that he should pray for it, as happened to Aaron's two sons. Okay, when they died before the Lord there, because they had an unsanctified activity. Verse 17, we'll finish it up here. All unrighteousness is sin. Okay, every standard which is not within the record of Christ stands and tethered to Satan's kingdom of darkness and ignorance. And there is a sin not unto death, okay, which has to do with the God code. Okay, the God code, but with false knowledge. We'll go into that deeper later sometime. Now we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Okay, because we're the charity is finding its completion, and your faith is made strong. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself aware. In the covenant, in the priesthood, with the tools, that the wicked one touches him not. So if you don't want Satan to harass you, okay, or if you want him to leave, you have to walk by faith. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. We'll see three things here. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him to true. And we are in him as true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is a true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols, amen. Now, idol has to do with a dead philosophy, a philosophy that's dead, or dead knowledge. It's like the God code minus faith equals hypocrisy, which equals death. Okay, or the God code plus the moral code equals the idol. The Apostle John brings three things out here. We know. It's not we think. It's we know. Okay, we have been taught this pattern. Okay, through the headship of Christ. Okay, to give to the saints. Moses did not guess on the pattern of the temple. He saw it. So that when it was constructed by Bezalel and Aholiab, okay, Moses confirmed, Yes, that is true. This is exact pattern, exact dimensions, and for its direct and designed for that purpose. Okay, so let's finish up here. Okay, somebody says, we know him that is true. We know the Son of God has come. We are established that to be the pattern, the record, and has given us an understanding with his priesthood now, that we may know him that is true. There was the word know there. That means that we that through this form of relationship, God reveals himself, and the more you sow, the more you grow. That he is the original pattern, that he is true, and we are in him that is true, the original pattern. He is the oath of the Lord, and he doesn't change. So we have confidence, as we brought out verse 14. He doesn't change. Even his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? As it was with Moses, so it was be with Christ. Okay? This is the true God, Jesus Christ. Okay? This is the true God and eternal life. Okay? The true pattern, which is of the Spirit, and there he says eternal life again, being self-devised, self-originate, self-perfected, and self-eternal. Okay? Which the reality of it will be in the third covenant. So, by following this pattern, we then abstain from idols.